And Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Was it mustard sauce?
You know what? No, she wanted cocktail. Tina is a cocktail sauce fan.
So all right, cocktail. That's important. We have to get the important things out of the way first.
Exactly. I do make a nice, I make like a remoulade a lot of times for it. And then a tartar. And it's funny, I used to prefer cocktail sauce with my crab cake. And as I've gotten older, I don't know why, I've sort of gravitated more to toward a remoulade or a tartar sauce. It's weird. It's weird. I don't know why.
Weird is a good word these days.
Yes. Well, first of all, we haven't spoken since the remarkable success and the way that you were able to pull off the March sale. And I know so many people, breeders and consigners, it meant a lot to them. And I can only imagine the shape some of them would have been in had they not cleared some of that inventory when they did. And you built a lot of equity with the client base by, seeing things through back in March.
Yeah, obviously it was a challenge then. It's a challenge now, but it's important, to kind of keep the engine revving as best you can. And, the numbers in March weren't the numbers we were, expecting, in the fall, that as we were looking forward to it. But certainly it was important to churn some of the money and be able to, get to the next dance, which was in April, but it looks like it'll be on June 9th.
Well, and it also at least got some two-year-olds into circulation and out into some barns to feed, the two-year-old racing. There's a obviously a backlog when we look at what you've got cataloged for June 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, 1,311 horses right now, a Breeze show May 31st to June 6th. Before we talk about the sale itself, give us a feel for, the discussions and the protocols, the arrangements that you and the board discussed and released on Monday.
Well, we did have the experience in March as things were starting to, ramp up in terms of the exposure throughout the country, and we were, able to put some protocols in place to keep things as safe as possible, and we'll just expand on that, just go beyond that. Obviously, we had a lot of locations being wiped down constantly. We had all of the interior doors were open, the exterior doors, we had people opening those doors, and that helps, eliminating the contact points. Fortunately, for us, the horse business, a lot of what we do is outside. And, outside you can maintain your social distance as best, for the most part. And I think that's, a huge benefit from our end. For this sale, we're going to restrict seating inside. And that's another situation where people aren't coming in and they're not sitting down for 3 hours at a time. They're coming in and they're doing their business and they're leaving. We're going to restrict the attendance to sale participants only, so we won't have the onlookers, and quite frankly, some of what we see at the sales for the people that like to, watch the sales, and we enjoy it for them to be here, but in this situation, it's safer that they stay home. A lot of those people that attend the sales are from the retirement communities around here that like to watch the action and be around the horses. So we're doing those things. Our concessions is going to be limited in terms of just food where you can grab it and go. There will be seating available, but it'll be spread out more than normal. The bars will only be open to to serve but not to sit. So we're going, you know, through the process, something that has worked for us in March, and we think that, you know, adding a few more layers of protection will help. And, you know, fortunately, in this part of the world, you know, the amount of positives have been very low, and it seems like in the rest of the country we're going in the right direction. So I think, you know, from all those things, I think we're in a better spot. March was almost, from Florida's perspective, was almost the kickoff point down here. While it was a little more prevalent up in the Northeast, it was becoming more, you know, in the South Florida region especially was starting to see more and more cases of that. So hopefully we're on the downside of this, and we'll have our sale, and you know, people will have an opportunity to jump in at price ranges that, you know, certainly wouldn't be expected in the fall of the year when the market was rolling along.
I imagine that people, you know, people's attendance, I think they're probably not as worried about attending and having issues on site as much as the challenge of traveling there. You know, how much feedback have you received? I mean, I saw the piece that Jessica Martini did the other day in TDN, where she talked to, you know, a number of consignor types and prospective buyers and pinhookers, etc. And, you know, everybody, even the ones that said that they're, you know, slightly apprehensive, they're all planning on coming. What is your canvassing telling you, Tom? And then address the, you know, the telephone sale bank and the experience that you had in March, and how much you expect that to, you know, continue to be a big part of the sales process.
Yeah, so I think that the people that are relatively close, you know, maybe, you know, the Kentucky contingent might choose to drive to be here, and that's not unusual, because, you know, a lot of the people that go from here to Kentucky, you know, drive for the yearling sales and the mixed sales. It's not unusual for them. This way they're in their car, they've got everything that they want, they're going to be there for an extended period of time. And other people, you know, coming from the Northeast, you'll probably see the majority of them, you know, flying down here. Obviously, the airports are a lot less crowded than they used to be, and the planes are a lot less crowded than they have been, and they're going above and beyond their cleaning protocols on the plane. So, you know, I think that, you know, there may be some people that will be hesitant to travel here, and that's why we put some things in place to help them buy horses with some advisors that may be here to look at the horses for them and do some of the legwork that's
good idea.
People,
yep.
People, the options to buy. So you mentioned the phone bidding for March. You know, we'd ramped up pretty significantly for an increase on the phone bidding, and I think it was a little different in March. Is that the horses were on the ground, and the majority of the buyers, or at least the scouts, were on the grounds looking at the breeze show and looking at the horses. So a lot of the homework was being done. And while those people are here, the agents that are representing the principals, they'd much rather be on the phone directly with their principal and bid than, you know, just the phone bid. So we didn't really see an uptick that much in the phone bidding side of things for March. I think that was probably the case. You know, now it's possible, you know, that, you know, so the trainer may drive up from Miami, look at the horses, watch the breed show, stay for, you know, a day, and then head back, you know, to take care of business a little more than maybe in the past, and I'm just speculating. And then if that's the case, that's where we'll see more action on the phone. And then we're going to be implementing the online bidding for this sale, which we are, you know, and we are in full court press mode getting that up and running, and we're putting the finishing touches on it. Should have that up and running and being able to register to bid online. And you know, that's just an extension of the phone bid, except you have, you know, a click of a button instead of telling the person on the other end of the line that you're wanting to bid on the horse. And you'll have access to the Under Tack show just like you do now on our website. You can watch the Under Tack show live. You can watch each individual horse after the Under Tack show is over. We do have some walking videos and confirmation photos that will be submitted by the consigners that will be available. So we're trying to provide as much information as possible for the buyers, and also, you know, make it as easy to access that information so that they're be in a position where they feel comfortable, you know, bidding on a horse.
And I did see in the press release too, the company that's doing the service element, literally milliseconds, 250 milliseconds in terms of a lag time. So, you know, no concern about signaling a bid and so forth. You know, it feels like that, you know, the more people get familiar with this process, the more things are going to go in that direction, Tom. Do you feel that way, or do you think once this thing abates to the point where people feel more comfortable traveling, particularly air travel, or do you think that this will have a lasting effect on the way people attend the sales?
Well, I think live auctions, you know, for the live auctions, the people still have to come. They still have to physically look at horse. Somebody somewhere along the line has to look at the horse. The veterinarian has to do the vet work. I think it's a good add-on for the companies to provide, and all the sales companies are going to have this moving forward. And you know, we just kind of cranked up the engine quicker than it was in the works and in development, but you know, we've pushed it forward because out of necessity, we're doing a lot of things these days, to try and make things work. So I do think that the online bidding part will help, and it'll help people to be able to participate, and it may keep that person that's busy, forgetting whether we have a pandemic, that's busy and just, you know, instead of squeezing out the time and they feel much more comfortable bidding online than talking to somebody on the phone, that it'll give them, you know, a level of comfort. I think, you know, as we have progressed, in terms of doing banking online, which people were, you know, very nervous at the beginning, including myself, doing banking online and things like that, as time has progressed and people get more and more comfortable with the ability to do things online, I think it's going to be a benefit. I don't think it's going to, you know, replace it in terms of still having, you know, we're not selling widgets, we're selling horses, and people, regardless of what, you see in a video or a photo, you know, to smell them and touch them and feel them and watch them walk and just being part of it. And then even, you know, people that go and look at a horse one time, then they'll go back and look at a second time, and then they might slip by later at night to see how they're just hanging out in the stall. There's a lot of things that go into buying a horse that certainly isn't, you know, conducive for online bidding. But I do think just having that availability just helps broaden the participation.
I appreciate that element too, is their behavior and you know, the ones that don't get irritable, the more they're shown, and you know, there's little nuances to the process that a lot of buyers include in their evaluations.
Yeah, no question. And I think overall, we've got a lot of horses in the sale. We've got some, we got a wide variety of horses. We have horses that'll be at the very high end, and then we've got horses that will be a mixed bag below it in terms of prices. But, the horses that come running out of this sale, the million-dollar horses don't always turn out to be the stars of the sale. We just had a horse last night was awarded the Canadian Horse of the Year, Starship Jubilee, and she was a horse that actually was bought back at our April sale, and you know, for less than $50,000, and you know, it turned out to be probably one of the better claims of all time when she, you know, was running on the dirt, and she's turned into a, you know, super turf horse. But I think we have a good, what April has become, you know, there's a horse for every budget and every taste, and I think we have that, you know, for this sale, and we just hope that there's a, you know, enough demand for the 1,300 horses that we have here.
Well, the 1,300, a lot of familiar names when you look through the consigner list, and this is going to be a really important restocking opportunity. I mean, they're the people that didn't travel and, you know, have been waiting and you know, seeing things through, not able to acquire the kind of, you know, 2-year-old inventory that they're, you know, they normally do. I read through that piece that, you know, featured comments from David and Gordo and Joe Applebaum, touched on it with Joe, you know, the other day, Charlie Bowden and Steve Young, etc. Got to reach out to Gary Young and see, you know, Gary's, you know, this is always a big opportunity for him. You know, talk about the catalog and some of the expectations and you know, some of the highlights that the buyers are going to be coming down to see.
Well, fortunately, we had a tremendous year at the racetrack. Last year, you have 3 Eclipse Award winners on the cover, so you got Midnight Bassoo and Matoli and Storm the Court. So, you know, that in and of itself speaks volumes of, you know, what you can get at the sale. And, you know, we have those types of horses scattered throughout, you know, some horses by the cream of the crop stallions and some by the lesser known stallions. You know, Matoli was by Escondrea, who at that point in time was not necessarily the flavor of the month, but he was a good horse and a athletic horse. And Storm the Court, another one not by a prominent sire, and then Midnight Bassoo by Midnight Loot. You know, those are horses that jumped up physically. They are attractive-looking horses and did well on the Under Tack show and brought decent money. And those horses turned out on the racetrack. So I think, you know, there's a horse here that could be the next one. You don't know if it's the $1 million horse, the $70,000 horse, or the $300,000 horse, but we do have, you know, the who's who of sires represented here. You go through the index, and, you know, there's most of those sires have multiple horses in the catalog. So there's a lot to be had here, and I think that, you know, at the top end, I think it'll be competitive. I think there will still be some bargain shopping because of the situation we're in, and below that, that's the part of the market that's, you know, the unknown. But, you know, with the racetracks coming back on board, you've got New York and California and Kentucky. Florida's been kind of grinding it out throughout. You know, fortunately, Oakland was able to run and put some money into people's pockets and keep racing going, and Tampa and Gulfstream Park have been able to run, you know, throughout this whole situation. But with New York coming on board and Churchill Downs starting and Santa Anita starting last weekend, you know, I think that, you know, alleviates some fears that, you know, I'm going to buy my horse and now what am I going to do with it? You know, at least they're starting to run, and you know, hopefully things will continue to pick up. And we'll pick up a few more racetracks that are, you know, sitting on the sidelines right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I just went over a few with Mary Rampolini, and that part of things has really, you know, the spurs have been put to it here in the last week, give or take. And we'll be, you know, we'll have 24 tracks running by mid-June. So the timing is absolutely perfect. There's a number of first crop stallions that are represented in here too. And it'll be interesting, Tom, to see what happens. You know, Churchill is carting at least 1 2-year-old race a day here at the start. In fact, you got the first run happy running tomorrow, and not this time, and upstarts, and it'll be very interesting to see Spitester. You've got a bunch of all of these in the catalog. So the first crop 2-year-olds, they're potentially going to jump up on radar screens too by the time you get to to June 9th.
Yeah, and I think one other thing, unfortunately we had to wait until June 9th, but the other thing is these horses haven't been put in a closet. You know, they've been in training, and so they're further along on June 9th than they would be on April 15th. So
good point.
These horses will have the opportunity to go from here to the racetrack and start filling some races.
How about, I don't have the physical book, but in terms of regional offerings, obviously there'll be a ton of Florida breds, but New York, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, some of the regional markets, regional breds.
I think that's part of the attraction to this sale with the number of horses. There's something for everyone, and all those areas are represented pretty solid representation throughout. So we have the books. We had to redo the covers and do all these sort of things to get the physical book out. So they're out, and they should be in people's hands. Hopefully, people will have them this week. We have the two main books, and then we added a supplement for horses that weren't able to make earlier sales that are a part of the supplement. Now, ultimately, we can only fit 1,200 horses on the grounds here, and so that 1,300 is going to be down to the 1,200 once they come on the grounds. But those horses in the supplement are significant additions to the sale.
Well, this is going to be a frenzy, I think, to say the least. And we should also, Tom, while we're together, Tom Ventura joining us from OBS, obssales.com, for the catalogs and everything you need to know. And I guess we should mention July and then what has been some changes to the fall season as well, with the news that Preakness is going to be run October 3rd, the confirmation, and Timonium is going to run, days later, and then your fall sale immediately follows.
Right. So the July sale, formerly known as the June sale, is the Under Tack show will start on July 6th, and we'll probably have another 800 to 1,000 horses in that sale. We've got it hasn't closed yet, but we've got a significant number of horses in that sale as well. And then in the October slot, we were scheduled to be the week starting the Tuesday after the Preakness, and Phasic Tipton was the week after us. And we got together, and really it makes sense just to make that switch. They could follow the Preakness. Traditionally, their May sale followed the Preakness, the 2-year-old sale, and there'll be people in town for the Preakness, maybe if they have fans. We hope they have fans. But it makes sense to let them be in that slot right after the Preakness, and then we could follow the following week, which will help us, if they're, in case there's people that are involved in the Preakness and what's happening at the Preakness, that they'll have plenty of another week to travel down here. So, we compete, Keeneland and Phasig and OBS compete for horses and compete for buyers. But at the end of the day, we have to be cognizant that the schedules need to be flexible. In this situation, we're acting quickly to react to the situation. But in this case, it was a fairly straightforward move that just made sense for both of us, and we think in the end it's the customers that'll benefit, and they can go to their sale and then come to our sale, and we'll both benefit by it.
Well, that's been really the watchword industry-wide, Tom, is everyone has cooperated and, you know, understood each other's needs and the demands and has adjusted. And it's going to pay off. You can tell already that, you know, we've seems like as a collective, as an industry, we've kind of, you know, made it through the other side of this, given, you know, your sale coming up and everything that's, you know, going to happen at the racetracks with one opening scheduled after another. So looking forward and I'm going to talk to Tina and see if she's interested in a couple of days away from the house and maybe we can come down and do some shows from, you know, during the week.
Yeah, you know, everybody's a bit stir crazy, especially in your neck of the woods,
yeah.
More so than down here. And I talked to my brother, I guess, a couple weeks ago when I was talking to him. He said, you know, I haven't driven my car in over a month. And I said, I would just get in my car and drive somewhere. And I said, even if you didn't have to go anywhere, you just get there and drive somewhere.
Yep.
So he was, you know, he's been living in a four block radius for a long time. So,
us, you know, I know for us, a drive to Saratoga is a big deal, and you know, we're delighted to get out. And then the other day, she said, "Do you want to go for a drive?" I said, "Yeah, sure." So we're driving around. Next thing we know, we're out in the middle. I mean, just, you know, we're out here by Vermont, and so we can end up, you know, God knows where. I mean, it's so funny. And, you know, you just kind of drive and look around and you go home. It's
the
proverbial
sanity check. That's all it is. The sanity check.
Exactly. What about, you know, I haven't heard from through all of this is Jimmy. What's Jimmy? How's he faring?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's doing okay now. You know, he's right there in Manhattan, so he's lived in a four-block radius
exactly.
for a long time.
Yeah, no, I know, but is he? What? He's working from home. How's that part?
Yeah,
of it?
He's working. He's working from home. I think they might be starting to open up the office. You know, but on the real estate side of things, it's as frantic as it is on the horse side of things. It doesn't matter what business you're in. You know, this is everything has been disrupted completely, and you just have to figure out how to get from point A to point B and hope there's not too many hurdles in the way.
The sale is going to hopefully draw its usual assortment of buyers, and everything being done by the staff at OBS to, you know, make sure participants are safe and are, you know, feel confident. And Tom, we'll look forward to the Breeze Show. Starts on what, Sunday, right? Sunday the 31st.
Yeah, we spread it out over 7 days. We started at 7:30, and we spread it out over 7 days, and thought that would be appropriate in June and spread them out, and then we'll start the sale the following Tuesday.
Well, 1,300 horses over 4 days, June 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and make plans, and you can feel good about everything that they've done at OBS to set you up to get your two-year-old, get those orders filled and fill up your requirements to compete. Tom, I can't thank you enough, as always.
Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Stay safe.
You too. Tom Ventura, everybody, obssales.com. And looking forward to the book, although it's going to end up being on the stoop because it's going to be too big to slip through the – we've got a mail slot. So sometimes they come through if it's thin enough. Other times I find them, you know, sitting right there on the, you know, on the front door. Take a break here. We got about 25 minutes, and Seth Merrow, got to get Seth in here. See what he's been doing and what he's been cashing. And I'm sure he'll look at Tampa today. He's got, let me see. Where's my Tampa? Charlestown tomorrow, 8-race car tomorrow night. And, oh, by the way, speaking of Charlestown, did you see the news? Eric Zimney, congratulations to them. They're adding a pick five, and they have established it with a industry-tying low 12% takeout. Very, very player-friendly races, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And first opportunity tomorrow. Nice. 12%. The pick five has been the most important addition to the wagering menu landscape. Tampa today, 1 o'clock Eastern, 9-race card, including a first-level allowance as the feature. And we'll see what Seth, what thoughts he's got back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horstmann, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back, just about 20 minutes to fill out this Wednesday. We'll do it with Seth Merrow. Good morning. Where is he? Seth? I hear something back there. Where? What's he doing? He must be distracted. Seth! Yeah, pick him up, Deja, and slap him around. Too funny. We'll get Seth here in a second. Even though they're not running today, yesterday I told you about Foner, and I'm watching the, kind of with one eye. I got it on the, Tina was watching, Tina's latched on to this Dead to Me series. So she's watching that. And I, I got the computer in my lap. I'm watching. And, we had success with that horse Quick in the stake at Will Rogers. But watching Foner, there's one odds on horse after another getting beat. And it noticed it on Monday. And then there was a 1-2 got beat in the second yesterday. A couple of 6-5s and a couple of 3-2s. So I started to go back. And if you go back to Tuesday, the 12th, a week ago yesterday, you had a winner at 90 cents in the fifth race. And then since then, you've had five odds on horses get beat. Three on Monday and then one yesterday. I think there was one favorite one yesterday at Foner. But you had a 3-5, a 4-5, a 2-5, and a 1-2 all lose, plus a 3-5 last Tuesday. So five straight horses, odds on, have gotten beat. Seth Merrow, good morning.
All right, can you hear me this time?
I can hear you now. Yes.
All right. I was saying hello, hello, but you had, I had not walked away. I am not like Bernie from Cleveland on the, on the radio talk show. I did not leave the room.
Well, I had no trouble vamping because the Foner thing had been sitting on the corner of my desk all morning. I mentioned it in passing, just that the favorites have been going down one after another, and for those that have been finding bombs at Will Rogers, and there's been plenty of those. Today's your last day, but you're on Wednesdays. You're focused on Tampa.
I am, but I will take one more time, I've said it over the past few weeks, to applaud Foner, Will Rogers, Oak Lawn, Tampa, and Gulfstream for keeping things going for us and kind of showing the way so that other tracks had the templates to point to get back, because you've been talking about it this morning. It seems like over the next few weeks, things are going to get back to some semblance of normalcy in the racing world. But it was nice. There was a couple, towards the end of March, there was a few days where it seemed like racing might all over. It was looking a little dicey for a while, but they pushed forward Arkansas and Florida, and again, Foner and Will Rogers. So again, congratulations to them for keeping things going and benefiting from it nicely, particularly, Foner and Will Rogers, which normally float under the radar, made the most of their time in the spotlight.
No, no doubt. And three more cards at Foner and Tampa, of course, as well, is going to go till next week. It's been great. It's been great. Before we do any actual handicapping, get some opinions from you. Some news of the day, Seth, and just some overall impressions. I talked to Martin Panza earlier this morning, and I sort of shook my head, kind of aghast yesterday with people going nuts, outraged over the situation with the Belmont. Like, the world's going to come to an end because they have to run it 1 year at 9 furlongs.
Yeah, isn't that for a lot of people the mission statement of Twitter to become inflamed about something or someone, because it's just. You knew it was going to be this way. They're going to kind of plant themselves in June and make the most of that situation. And doing that, given the lack of racing at this point, the cutback in distance was almost a foregone conclusion. It was going to be hard to get horses that haven't had that Derby prep season, much less the Triple Crown races, to get ready for the mile and a half. It was going to be hard to get a big solid field to come. But you put up $1 million for the Belmont Stakes at a mile and an eighth. I think they're going to have a great field. And the whole Triple Crown is a different scenario this year. So I don't think the fact that we don't get the traditional mile and a half changes it up significantly in that, again, it's now, you know, June, September, and October anyway. It was a different scenario. You couldn't have put it as the third leg and overlap with the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, as I say, it was kind of a foregone conclusion. I'm looking forward to it.
As we're speaking, by the way, I just see the news, Seth, that Tampa has gone again to the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, and they're going to add some dates for June.
Yeah, they were talking about adding a few more dates, which I was surprised Oaklawn didn't add another couple of weeks or something, because I think it would have been good for them, and I think it would have been good for the industry, where people didn't at that point necessarily have places to ship. Now, they said for, you know, just logical, you know, logistical and practical reasons, they had to end when they did. But it's not surprised me Tampa's keeping going. As again, it's going to take a few more weeks for the rest of the tracks to kind of get on board. And Tampa's having a good meet, and folks are stable down there and without necessarily any spot to aim for that Barnes would traditionally be shipping to. Yeah, it kind of makes sense. They've had a good meet and keep it rolling for a few more cards down there. And again, as we get into that middle of June, we're going to see it's good news earlier this week, obviously, that not only Belmont Stakes has a date, but there's an opening day for racing in Belmont. Still have to, you know, wait and see and figure out the Saratoga situation, but Belmont is a go June 3rd, so looking forward to that. Churchill, I thought the opening weekend at Churchill was great. I printed out Sunday's card, and I thought, I don't know whether I've had a page, a thickness of pages for the past performances like that. That was a solid card they had, not just Sunday, but obviously Saturday. Monomoy Girl on the comeback was, you know, the highlight of the weekend, and we've been waiting for those kind of horses to run, as the stakes action hasn't quite been up to the par we would have hoped for at this time of year over the past couple of months. So seeing her get back into action and doing it in fine fashion was a lot of fun. But again, we can look now to New York and a lot of the other venues to get going as it gets to some semblance of normalcy. Again, Santa Anita also underway now too. So hopefully, you know, knock wood, it's not just horse racing, but the rest of us who can get back to, again, some semblance of normalcy. We'll still be 6 feet away from people in the supermarkets and wearing masks and whatnot, but it looks like things are kind of opening up a little bit. I know for me, I'm going to get out of the house, kick back in with OTB TV on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to that myself, just to get out and,
oh, nice,
and be back on the air and doing a little work. And, you know, it's just a trip down the Northway every day, but again, like you were talking earlier, just to get in the car and get a little drive and do a little work, it's going to be fun.
Good. That it's too bad to some degree, because I've been enjoying, you know, the was it last week? Did we talk about this? Running the old. Yeah, we did. We talked about, right, about them running the old keyword Saratoga tapes.
Oh, no, you texted me. I don't think we did talk about that, because
we didn't. It was great.
Yeah. The mornings, obviously, normally there's European racing, and there hadn't been some European racing some mornings, so they're filling in on OTB TV with some of those old shows. You had some of the old keywords, Saratoga, popped up there. And then I went and looked, because you had mentioned the keyword Saratoga, and so I went and looked at the OTB YouTube, Apple OTB YouTube channel, because I know some of those older shows have been getting posted over the past couple of months. And I went back to look for that show, and that one hadn't been up yet. And I was talking to the guys in the studio, and that was one that they had just kind of come across. So that'll come up on YouTube at some time. But for people who are locked in, the shows they have put up, our shows and some of my shows and Marcus Allen, Mike Beach over the years, and just looking at the guest lineup. And so I was looking at our shows. I was kind of amazed. Wow, we had him on? I don't remember having him. Saratoga, excuse me. It's obviously easy to get people. They're a golf cart ride away. But we've had a pretty good lineup of guests over the years there. And one that jumps out, I didn't see that one on YouTube yet, but I remember when Gay Waterhouse made her visit to Saratoga a few years ago, we had her join us on the set too. So not just national stars, but international as well. And as I say, if people go over to that Capital TV YouTube channel, they can pull up some of that stuff now out of the archives.
Well, Gay was just a couple of years ago, right? I mean, that's not that long ago when she was on with us.
I would have said 4 or 5 if I was guessing.
Maybe. Well, it was so funny because I took a couple of screen captures. She actually took a couple of pictures for me and sent them. And then I took a couple too, but I sent one to Matt Musiker, who was on with us, and I sent one to Matt, and I sent one to, I'll tell you what, that was so long ago, Matt Musiker had hair. That's how long ago that was. Well, and so did you, actually. And then the picture of Dale, and I sent the picture to Dale, and he was, I'm not going to go lowbrow, but it's funny. Dale's a little bit of a yo-yo when it comes to, you know. You can't tell. Sometimes you can't tell if it's a young Dale, if it's Dale from a week ago, is it a Dale from 3 years ago? He's a bit of a chameleon that way. You don't, you wouldn't be able to tell. But those are the ones I saw, Dale and Matt Musiker.
Yeah, Dale's kind of a regular. Dale's always good. He could Dale over for
yeah. He can't beat
some
Dale.
Visits. Yeah.
Well, let's. Oh, we better. Oh, I'm just. We got to get some plays in. You only got about 4 minutes.
Oh, okay. Fourth race. Going to the fourth race. I think the first are from Kathleen O'Connell. I don't know whether we'll get the 8-1 morning line, but it looks like a race where maybe you can go with the first. And again, we're doing Tampa. But the fourth race is Maiden Claimers, and she has a first in it. A relatively weak field. The dam's a little long in the tooth, but I think Treasure Beach is kind of an interesting sire. You know, a sneaky sire of win early types. The numbers don't jump off the page, but Treasure Beach is okay. So Pantalassa is kind of interesting. And I'm going to toss the one in the mix, Silver Nina. Comes over from Gulfstream. This one will be a price, no doubt about it, and deservedly so. I'm rolling the dice a little bit there. But Silver Nina, I thought, comes over from Tampa and had shown some early speed. Probably will have to do it from the rail. So I thought Silver Nina could be a little bit interesting also in the fourth. I have an 8-7-1-2 in there. In the later races, I had seventh race, Flat Out Screaming, I think is going to be a little bit interesting. And that's 15-1 on the morning line. Again, I'm not sure it'll hold up, but I think given the buyers, it's a possibility. But it's a race that's not a strong race by any means. And in races like that, I like to look for the connections that maybe are a little higher percentage than some of the others in the race. And you have a 20% trainer at the meet with Screaming. Again, seventh race, it's the number 5. This is the second start back after a layoff from last August. Maybe got some fitness in that first start back. It's a little additional class relief, adds the blinkers today. So I thought at 15-1, you know, it's a race where you can take, I think, a little bit of a shot. Maydew, the number 2 underneath, is one that probably has to be played if you're doing picks. I have it down at the bottom of my mix, but being lately raced in a race that otherwise has some that have had plenty of opportunities. But in the seventh, I have it 5-9-12-2. And maybe we'll toss out one more. The eighth race, nothing spectacular there, but I'll take a little shot against Zano Boys, who probably will be the favorite. Ran a fourth in a Arkansas Bred Stakes last time, but was running well at Gulfstream prior, has some early speed. Zano Boys probably the one to beat, but I'll put Silver Lee enough on top, also coming mm-hmm. from Gulfstream. Leaves from the rail, that's going to have to work out a trip from the rail. But I think this is a horse that, you know, in good form, a couple of thirds leading into a win last time. I think that'll be a little bit of a interesting player in there, maybe a little bit of a better price than Zano Boys. So in the eighth, I have it 1-6-2-5.
I think Silver Enough should be very tough in there. I absolutely. And I tell you, I think you're on to something with Flat Out Screening. Anything close to that price Certainly, that's a bit of a, as always, you talk about 15 claimers. I mean, maiden claimers, who knows what you're, dealing with.
Not a strong bunch by any means. So I think that's a place where you can play around a little bit. I'll be playing around. One of the things I've done over the past few weeks, we can talk about this sometime in future weeks, I've jumped in for some contest play because I haven't had enough time. Last 2 weeks, I realized, well, now I have the time. So I've been playing some contests. It's been kind of been frustrating. I've been sitting with like 3 races left. I've been sitting right next to a winning position, and then I just can't get that last horse across the wire. But it's been fun over the past couple of weeks.
Well, the experience goes a long way. I mean, and you've been playing the low roller thing, for really since they created it in New York.
Huge fan of the low roller.
Yeah, you're getting there. One thing that's become evident, we talked to John Nichols last week, and John went 2 for 3. He wins two and got beat by $2 in a third in the BCBC qualifier, by Roger Satina. But one thing that you'll see a lot of times in that last, when they show the grid with the selection grid and the chicklets, I mean, so often the guys are taking, the swing with price horses in those last legs or the last leg itself. And it seems like, whether you do it as protection, if you're up, amongst the leaders or leading, or whether you're doing it to try to get over to win, it just feels like, anchoring, the end game with the price is key.
Yeah, and I remember the Saratoga contest a few years ago where I sat in about seventh or eighth place all day long and then got to that last race. And with the live money, people were taking some shots, too. I got knocked down to, I think, 14th, just got knocked out of a money position with a couple of swings late. So that is certainly a common thing.
Tampa Bay today and the last card at Will Rogers. Good luck if you're playing, everybody. I want to thank Martin Panza for the extended visit. Earlier this morning, hour one. You'll hear it tomorrow if you come in about 6:20 to 7 on the replay. Sid Fernando, of course, Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Tom Ventura from OBS. Mary Rampolini got us caught up on some meets. Tomorrow we'll talk to Eric Hallstrom from Indiana. Get caught up on Indiana's season. Seth Merrow just now, the face of GoTB. And my partner at Capital OTB TV for Loose on the Lead, which I guess we're going to probably do, even if there are no patrons. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Now, come on, we're doing it. Even if we just are out in the field with an iPhone. Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.